Today's first reading is from Mark 5, verses 25 through 35. A woman who had suffered a condition of hemorrhaging for 12 years, a long succession of physicians had treated her and treated her badly, taking all her money and leaving her worse off than before. She had heard about Jesus. She slipped in from behind and touched his robe. She was thinking to herself, if I can just put a finger on his robe, I can get well. The moment she did it, the flow of blood dried up. She could feel the change and knew her plague was over and done with. At the same moment, Jesus felt energy discharging from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said, "What are you talking about? With this crowd pushing and jostling you, you're asking who touched me? Dozens have touched you." But he went on asking, looking around to see who had done it. The woman, knowing what had happened, knowing she was the one, stepped up in fear and trembling, knelt before him, and gave him the whole story. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed, be healed of your plague." That ends the first reading today.
Our scripture reading this morning is really shrouded in the mystery of time. Many people through the centuries have wrestled with this story that we just heard, and they've come up with amazing responses and analyses and left certain questions unanswered. Fortunately, it's not necessary for all of you to wrestle to that depth with a portion of Scripture. But one thing is for sure, after everything is said and done, we are left with an amazing and an unforgettable picture. And the Gospel of Mark tells an amazing and meaningful story. This one took place in a city street. And you can imagine a narrow, twisted street packed with a diverse crowd of excited people. And they are surging past its bazaars and pavement stalls with all the noise and all the confusion of an Eastern marketplace. In those days, it was still the time. Many people were surrounding Jesus. And in those days, they were anxious to get close, to see him up front, nearby. And therefore, in the busy streets, they are pushing and shoving each other. They want to see this Galilean who seems to offer healing of mind, of soul, and of body, even offers forgiveness of sin, another chance in life, the possibility of beginning again. So all this was going on according to Scripture, and then something unexpected happened. Jesus stopped in his tracks. And remember, he's surrounded by people pushing and shoving each other. And he asked, "Who touched me?" Now, that is an electrifying question, especially when you realize who asked it and under what circumstances the question was asked. And coming to think of it, you cannot escape the thrill of it. The tingle of excitement that grips you when you begin to think of Christ, Jesus Christ, stopping in response to the touch of a poor, nameless woman. Now, who was this woman? I won't believe it, but there were several books written about this question. Who was this woman? Some even gave her a name. In some books, she's called Martha. There are other references to the same women in the old manuscripts where she's called Veronica. So tradition, Christian tradition, gives her various names. But fact is that no one knows for sure. We can say that she represents all the people who look everywhere for peace of mind and heart, for hope and for comfort, mostly not finding it. This woman in Scripture really represents them all. Whatever their wants, their fears, their hopes, their pains, she heard about Jesus, and deep inside she believed. Not that she wanted to speak with him. She didn't expect a miracle. She believed that if she could just touch Jesus, even only the hem of his garment, something would happen to her. And she even dared to hope that she would be healed and suffer no more. She believed that she could not afford to lose this unique opportunity. Jesus was not in the streets every day in those days. She must touch him. You can imagine how she worked all this out. Hustle and bustle. He was coming nearer. And she was measuring the distance. Now she can almost reach him. Just another moment. And the moment that he passed, she is able to reach out her hand, and with the tip of her finger, to touch his robe. Insignificant, not? But you know what? That was enough. With a trembling finger, she had touched Jesus with the touch of a mighty faith. No one had noticed her. No one? No, the Bible says Christ did. Recognizing the one magnetic touch of faith amid the pressure of the crowd. And then, says the Bible, he stopped and he asked the amazing question, "Who touched me?" A little bit laughable, isn't it? So many people were pushing and shoving. Seemed absurd to those who heard it, impatiently, almost with sarcasm. His disciples were ready with an answer. And they were a little bit sarcastic themselves. They say, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, who touched me?" But looking around him, Christ stood still. And we can just imagine his kind but searching glance fell at last on the face of the woman who had done it. And now it's even more electrifying. Let's imagine the scene. His gaze is holding hers, and something passed between them, and she began to tell him her story while they were looking each other in the eyes. And I think, just my imagination, but I think the eyes of Jesus must have given her confidence. They seemed to promise all that she desired. And it's obvious that her fear disappeared. What was Jesus going to say? It's a street drama recorded in history for centuries. How was he going to respond? Well, not in scorn at her action. Definitely not. Not in resentment. Not in anger at her presumption. Not in ridicule at her faith. Not in indignation at her audacity. But in the sympathetic tones of understanding love. Simply, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. She touched him in faith, in desperate believing faith, and Jesus stopped. The touch of one anonymous woman in a crowd halted the Prince of Glory. And that is the glorious message of this incident. She touched him. Yeah, you've guessed it. I was going to say that in the end. So she touched him, and so can you. And so can I. And so did many of us many a time in our lives. Because you see, that is part of the story of our faith. In and through Jesus Christ, we get to know and to touch God. And times like these, we need to touch Him. Oh, how much we need to touch Him. Most of us, maybe that's a reason why many people go to church this morning. Many people going, we could say, yes, they are thronging Jesus. English word that I wasn't born with, but I looked it up. So in a certain sense, that's what we're doing this morning. We're thronging Jesus in the hope that He would hear our voice, that He would respond to our call, that He would be present. Otherwise, there is no reason being here. You know, it's so easy to throng the Lord without ever touching Him. Great many people in the churches, and perhaps a great many outside the churches, even in our modern times, are still thronging Jesus, seeking Him, coming close to Him. But oh, never, ever actually touching Him. You can move through a church for many years without ever touching God in faith. You can listen. You can criticize the minister. You can complain about the choir. You can say this is wrong and that is wrong. But you can then still go with another opportunity passed without touching Him. And this is the story, I believe, about Jesus and the suffering woman in the crowd. This is the message that comes to us. We have to touch Him for ourselves. No one else can do it for us. If a relationship with God, a true, sincere relationship, was possible for many of us through our parents, my God, wouldn't we be a wonderful crowd? We look respectfully back to the older generations. They tell me when I read and wonder about the future, about the changes, the many changes in the Church of Jesus Christ, saying, well, times have gone by, new things are happening, it's time to adapt or to die. And I can assure you that's a question that many, many pastors, there are several of them in church this morning, many pastors take to bed with them at night and wake up again in the morning. How can we serve the upcoming generation? How can we serve in a time when more people are apparently turning away from organized religion than ever before? Oh, I remember the days when we had to come early because you wouldn't find seating. It wasn't possible to get in. I remember the days when we were setting out loudspeakers in South Africa because our church couldn't take anyone more. And people sat around the church listening because there was a hunger. It was a different time. And those times seem to be gone. Not happening anymore. New ways are challenging us. New days, new times are challenging us. But God has never changed. God will never change. Oh, if we only could touch God in and through Jesus Christ as Christians. For many people, there is no longer a thrill in their prayers. They don't sense the tingle of contact with the infinite resources. No flash of reality about our religion anymore. It is as if we are getting lost in the crowd, as if we are living separated from the Master, and somehow we are out of touch with the Lord. Thankful for our church, for our spiritual health team, with the fantastic work that Dr. Bobby McKay is doing in our church. And we've seen so much new, renewed and fresh spirituality in our church. I'm so excited about what's going to happen. She'll be here soon and she will continue her lecturing and her teaching in our midst. And it's all about one thing: to become aware of the presence of God. To get away the second-hand religion and to experience it one-on-one. He promised that we would have power. Power to do amazing things. Grace to do unnatural things, such as to harbor no grudges, to forgive those who hurt us, to love even those who treat us unjustly or unkindly, to pray for those who hurt us, to try making right situations that have been wrong, even if it means humbling ourselves, swallowing our pride, and risking a snub or a slight. You may ask this morning, come on, be clear. How can I touch Christ? Because some may be seeking healing of body or mind or soul. Some here this morning may seek insight on some daunting problem. And some came with a prayer, oh, that I will just be able to recharge the spiritual batteries this morning, so that I can gain strength to stand up under the tensions and the stress of life. And rare in our days, but some are still seeking forgiveness, peace with God, a new beginning. So what I'm saying is there are many reasons to touch God in faith. And you may have a very special one this morning. My advice is, give God a chance. Mention your problem, whatever it may be. Mention it to God in prayer. And in the telling in your prayer, be absolutely honest and sincere. Hold nothing back. You know what? Our minds are sometimes shocked when we permit our hearts to spill over. Discovered in my own life, I'm very nervous about praying out loud when I'm alone. Because when I hear myself say, I usually end up either in tears or in ecstasy. Sometimes we must verbalize our prayers for ourselves when we are communicating with our powerful God. It's good for our spiritual life to pray. To pray sincerely with all our heart. And if we would only have the courage to take a good look at our motives for doing certain things, we might discover some things about ourselves that would melt away our personal pride and soften our hearts so that God could do something with us and for us. If God would touch the people of this congregation directly, this church and the Space Coast will be different and will never be the same again. You know, I have this, many of us have this GPS, this global positioning system in our cars, and I, for one, I don't get lost as often as I did in the past. And I was driving and I was thinking about, this is also the truth about our faith in God. Our faith is a GPS. Not to get lost. I like the way of saying it, to touch the face of God, to communicate directly, and to hear instructions, inaudible instructions, but to say, turn left, turn right, go straight on. How completely lost I would be in this confusing and lonesome world if not connected in faith to the living God. And we do get to know, in closing, God's will in many ways. It often comes through our own conscience. Things bothering us. Oh, well, it happened 2 years ago. It's over. No, no. It seems to be gnawing still, gnawing still. Sometimes we need to go back and make right so that we can look up again and look God in the face. Here, sometimes during our often so lonesome earthly journey, we discover God. Can God be discovered in this worship service this morning? Is there somebody who is currently feeling your way? I just want to touch the hem of God's garment. Friend, do so this morning. I promise you, God would not ask who touched me. He would know, because He's expecting it. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, how we want to be healed. You know our hurts and our pain. You know the longings of our hearts. You know those places in mind, spirit, and body that are in need of your healing touch. Hear us as we now reach out for your helping, healing, life-giving presence. O God, give us the courage to step through the crowds and other obstacles that would prevent us from being close to you. Enable us to be free of all that would limit us or hold us back from becoming the persons you would have us be. We pray this morning for all who are in need of healing. We pray that you might hear the yearnings of our hearts and answer us. And in this quiet time, O God, we are listening expectantly to your whispers of grace. We open our lives to you now to receive your blessings. Receive us in our pain and brokenness, and let us be healed. O God, restore us, your people, to a vision of your world where each person lives and walks in the light of your presence and love. For this morning, it's in the name of the living Christ that we pray. Amen.